We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon a precious portion of Holy Scripture which you've given us. We pray that you open all of our hearts and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, let's begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speaker phones, also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. The service this morning is coming from the city of Cannon Falls here in Minnesota, the Gopher State, home is one of my children. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Ezekiel chapter 37. Kind of looking at the past here, a page from the past. The prophet Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He lived in difficult times. Ezekiel was contemporary with Jeremiah. He also lived in very difficult times. Ezekiel's lot was cast in the darkest days of Jewish history. They had reached rock bottom and were starting to dig. The book of Ezekiel opens with these words. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. We could perhaps say that Ezekiel is the Old Testament John. There are parallels between the book of Ezekiel and the book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, are many. John was in exile when he saw visions. Ezekiel was among the captives by the river Chebar in the country of Babylon. About 130 years before Ezekiel lived, the Assyrians raided the Holy Land and took 10 of the tribes away captive, and they were lost forever. Then in Ezekiel's day, the Babylonians came in and took the remaining two tribes, conquered them, and deported them to Babylon. The people that Ezekiel was preaching to, many of them, would never go back to their homeland. They would die and be buried in enemy territory. It's very, very depressing times for the nation of Israel. We get to Ezekiel chapter 37, and the chapter opens with these words. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. It would be hard to imagine a more depressing scene than this. Ezekiel, who was a captive in Babylon, was taken by the Spirit and set down in the middle of a valley. And this valley, as it turned out, was a gigantic cemetery. And God had him walk around in that valley, and all he saw were bones, 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 bones. And they were dry, dry bones. The vultures had done their work very, very well. There wasn't a shred of meat to be found on any of them. And not only were they dry, but they were very dry. The desert sun had done its work too. These bones were as dead as you could get. And as Ezekiel looked around, the Lord God asked him a question. The Lord said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And there was a time in Jewish history, if Ezekiel had lived then, that he wouldn't have had any difficulty answering this question at all. He would have said, absolutely they can live. Because he would have seen so many of the miracles that God had done for his people. He would have seen how Pharaoh was knocked down to his knees by 10 plagues down in the land of Egypt when he wouldn't let Israel go. And he was forced to, finally. He would have seen the Red Sea open and devour Pharaoh's army while his own God's own people walked through on dry ground. He would have seen that. He would have been a witness to that. He would have seen how God fed the people day by day by day by day out in the wilderness, sending manna from heaven in answer to the prayer that one day our Lord would give us this day our daily bread. Ezekiel would have seen that. He would have watched the Jordan River at flood stage all of a sudden back up and move way past the city of Adam so that God's people could walk on dry land. He would have seen that. And he would have seen the walls of Jericho fell. He would have seen the sun stand still and the moon stand still. He would have seen one time after another where God was fighting for his people. And he would have come to the conclusion there is nothing impossible for God. Nothing that he can't do. The problem was, though, that this had happened so very long ago. And Ezekiel hadn't seen any of these things. He had only read about them. And now the worm had turned. God wasn't fighting for his people anymore. Reason being that his people had deserted him and started worshiping false gods, and they found out that the true God wasn't kidding when he said there would be a price to be paid for this. And so one enemy after the other came in against God's people and prospered. And then finally, the last of them, except for a very few, a small handful of older people, were left behind. But most of them were carried away captive, deported into the enemy territory of Babylon. And the message that Ezekiel had to preach to these people was this: you'd better build homes and plant gardens and plant trees, because you're going to be here for a long time. 70 years. And most of them never returned to the Holy Land at all. They died and were buried in heathen territory. Now the bones that Ezekiel saw in this valley were the bones probably of a gigantic army. It seems like a battle had been fought there, and a mighty army was defeated. Very likely the army of the children of Israel, as we have it in the context of the thing. And so the question was, son of man, can these bones live? Well, it didn't look like it. It didn't look like it. So the prophet didn't quite know how to answer that question. He answered it this way: O Lord God, thou knowest. But there's a hint of doubt there, isn't there? It's not a resounding yes, that's for sure. Basically, it's, I don't know. I don't know. Only you know. It all seems so impossible. And this is a prophet of God. I think all of us, or most of us here, except those who are very young, know the feeling. You don't have to stand in the middle of a valley that is filled with bones in order to know the feeling that Ezekiel had. All you have to do is stand by one grave of a loved one in a cemetery, and you know exactly what Ezekiel was feeling like. Standing, for example, at the grave of your mother or your father, and looking into the past and recalling all of the pleasant memories when God was smiling upon the family and so many good things happened. And pleasant memories of a little walk in the woods or bedtime stories read by Mom. Picnics, family gatherings, little trips you took here and there. A million and one things. But when you're standing at a gravesite, it seems so long ago that that happened. The years had gone by so quickly, the children had left the home, old age had taken its toll, the sword of death had flashed, and God hadn't stopped it. And now you stand at the grave of a loved one, and the question is, can these bones live? And it seems so impossible. It just seems so impossible. There's no other religion in the world that teaches a resurrection from the dead. Only the Christian. Well, there was one thing that gave Ezekiel hope. Of all the enemies that Israel had, and there were many, and they had done their deed, but God had spoken to Ezekiel about these enemies in some of the chapters before we got to Ezekiel chapter 37. And I don't have time this morning to read all these chapters, but I can summarize them very easily for you. And in those chapters, the Lord God named names. And basically what he said to this, he said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the Ammonites and say to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am going to put you down. And then Ezekiel, prophesy to Moab and Seir and say to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am going to put you down. And then Ezekiel, prophesy against Edom and say to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am going to put you down. And then prophesy to the Philistines and say to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am going to put you down. And then prophesy against Tyre and Sidon, powerful seaport cities, and dread enemies of the children of God. Say to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am going to put you down. And prophesy to Egypt and say to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am going to put you down. And then prophesy to Assyria and say to the powerful Assyrians, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am going to put you down. So he did. He prophesied against these countries, these powerful, powerful enemies of God. He did it because he was an obedient prophet. But it all seemed so impossible. Some of these enemies were so powerful. How could it all happen? Well, you know, we can relate to this too. We have enemies. Some of them are spiritual. Some of them are physical. Some of these enemies are very, very powerful. We can't control them. We can't fight successfully against them. And so often your prayer and mine is a prayer of godly Jehoshaphat. Oh God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no hope, no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So now the God who told Ezekiel to prophesy against all these enemies tells him to do something maybe even more difficult. And the Lord God, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So now he's got to give a sermon to a bunch of dry bones. And he does. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone, right before his eyes. He's seeing this. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. And the Lord said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from my four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. This was a preview of coming attractions. It was basically a gigantic Easter morning out in the Valley of Dry Bones. It's not by accident that over and over and over and over again, Ezekiel is called the Son of Man. This is a term that Jesus Christ then applied to himself. That's not by accident. Then, a look into the future. Because all this seems so impossible yet for Ezekiel and his people. They remember, they were captives down in Babylon. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Basically, the true Israel. These bones are my people. The ones whom I've chosen to be a bride for my son. That's who these bones are. And behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from all our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, that all seems so far away, didn't it? But it happened. Or it's going to happen. Some of it already has. Most of it's going to happen in the future. Same promise holds for you and for me. A greater than Ezekiel is here. We come here again to a truth that is shown to us over and over again throughout the whole Bible. And the truth is this. That the destruction of God's enemies and the salvation of his people go hand in hand, and you can't have the one without the other. That's why there's a place called hell. If there were no hell, there'd be no heaven. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Easter morning, there were two things that happened. One thing was that his people were saved. And the other thing was that the kingdom of the devil was thrown down. And those things happened at the same time. And we can be thankful for that. Very thankful for that. You can't have the one without the other. Okay, now Ezekiel. He's standing there middle of the valley of dry bones. Everything looks so hopeless, but he sees this vision. And then after the vision, where does he go? He doesn't go up to heaven. He goes back to Babylon, where he continues to be a captive until the day he dies. And Babylon was the most powerful country in the world at that day. If ever there was a picture of the enemies of God, it would be Babylon. Well, the Apostle John in Revelation had a vision also about Babylon. It's recorded in Revelation chapter 18, beginning verse 15. I'm breaking into the middle of it a little bit, but you'll get the gist of it. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her, the her is Babylon. Babylon was a powerful, powerful city that imported and exported throughout the whole world. And these merchants were made rich by her. And they shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment. She's being tormented, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. When she fell, she went down quickly." I believe hour is probably the shortest unit of time in Scripture. If it's not, it's close. You got a half hour, but an hour. All this came down very, very quickly. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off, and they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" Well, there's going to be a better one, but they're not going to see it. It's called New Jerusalem. And they cried, and they said, What city's like to this great city? And they cast dust on their heads. And they cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." They're mourning. Now the scene shifts up into heaven. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." Hallelujah! That's how we should look at this. "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." Now that's how this whole thing is going to end up. There's going to be a very dangerous time right before this, and we are living in those days, which Scripture says are more dangerous than any other days in the history of this world. So dangerous that if it were possible, the very elect would be lost. And these are the days that we are living in. And Satan, who has been chained, is being loosed. Then when the 1,000 years are expired, which is the whole period of New Testament history, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I mean, one final assault. This is his last chance. And he'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints round about, the beloved city. And it all looked hopeless for God's people. And then it happened. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the battle was over before they even got a chance to shoot an arrow. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now this battle has already been won. And it was won at the cemetery when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And there was more than a battalion of soldiers, of Roman soldiers around there trying to keep him in the tomb. You can be sure the devil was there and all the powerful wicked spirits trying to keep that body in the tomb. and they couldn't do it. And when he rose and left that tomb, the whole kingdom of hell went down. And it's going to be finalized at the last day. And then John saw this other vision, Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then the wedding bells begin to ring. Son of man, can these bones live? We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all you have done, which culminated in your suffering and death on the cross for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And thank you for covering us with your blood so that we don't have to be afraid of the final judgment which is to come. We thank you also not only for the salvation of your own people, but also for the destruction of your enemies and ours. We thank you also for that great gulf that is fixed between heaven and hell, so that the devil and his wicked ones never again will be able to tempt or torment one of your own people. And we pray now that you keep us by your Holy Spirit in these last dangerous days, that we may be faithful unto death and your second coming, and then with glorified bodies like unto yours, be joined together with all the rest of your people and enter into the new heavens and new earth, which will last forever. We pray now the prayer that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. We'll close with the final hymn, Lutheran hymnal number 203.